Well, I'd like to welcome our listeners back to part three of my interview with Joe Alessi. This is Bob Elkier. In case you're just joining us, Joe and I grew up together out here in California, and we played in groups together, and seemed like it'd be a nice idea for me to interview him. Not so much of a technical interview, but more of a personal interview, what went on in his younger years. He's got a fascinating musical family, which leads me to my first question for you, Joe. I know your mom. I love your mom. She's like my godmother. She isn't, but she feels that way. But she said to me several times that you always knew what you wanted to do since you were 13 years old. But you started the trombone when you were 8. Now, in part two, you mentioned how you sort of warmed up to the trombone a little bit, and then you had a good teacher in Barry Ehrlich who got you sort of started with the basics pretty well. But my question for you is, you know, between those ages of 8 and 13, how serious were you about the trombone, and were you a typical little kid? I mean, did you get into trouble? Did you play sports? You know, how serious were you about the trombone when you were in grade school?
Well, I remember a couple things stick in my mind. I remember there was a fourth grade band director. Okay, her name was Mrs. Jones, Ginny Jones, and I remember writing for this band. I remember doing an arrangement of Bonanza for the band. I think it was like the only arrangement. Yeah, the only arrangement I've ever done. I think that was it. I pretend to do more, but maybe that's not true. Maybe I've done some other arrangements since then. But
yeah, well, I've heard some of them. I think I know why you're not arranging now. So.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. You might want to strike that, Bob.
No, that stays. That stays, listeners. Okay, go ahead. Tell us your Bonanza story.
Okay. Well, Bonanza. Anyway, so that was just fun to do that, and I remember Miss Jones really. So I was sort of the pet student, the teacher's pet. And I found out, wow, this is kind of cool. And she treated me very, very well. And I really liked her very much. And there was a band concert that we did. I think it was in sixth grade, perhaps. And we played out in a little courtyard. And I remember my music blew away during the concert. And I just kept on playing. I kept playing. I remembered all the, all the notes, and I said, "Oh, this is not so hard." And to me, that was a big milestone for me. I was very proud of myself.
That's a way to discover that you have a relative pitch or perfect pitch when your memory has recalled the notes, and you can sort of play by memory. That must have been a very nice thing for you to discover that you had that kind of confidence.
Yeah, it was sort of a day I remembered. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And so then I think the next thing that happened that was sort of intriguing. By that time, I had moved on to other teachers. Now, one of the greatest teachers I had was Ned Meredith, and he just passed away last summer. Mm-hmm. And he really, really nurtured me. And I think when it got on to these other teachers, I moved on. Barry actually recommended that I move on to Ned Meredith, and I began to see, from the symphony players, from their help and from their wisdom and from their nurturing, I was drawn into it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
is that
another instance was in the high school jazz band, and this is when I met you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Invited me, an eighth grader, to join the high school jazz band Hawaiian trip.
You joined us in the stage band before the Hawaiian trip occurred. Now, the only way you could have been invited up from junior high to play in the high school stage band was either if our trombone section stunk, which is entirely possible, but mostly you must have been pretty darn good, and you must have known you were good. I mean, you must have felt.
Well, yeah, but Yeah, I guess so.
Because listeners, you know, he wasn't invited in to play third trombone. Didn't you play lead when you came in?
Yeah, I did. But I don't really recall. But you know what? It didn't go to my head. Believe it or not, it did not go to my head.
I know that. You were very earnest, and you were just thrilled. But you know, you were good too. Didn't you sense that? Or I guess this is hard. That's a hard question.
It is a hard question to answer. I don't really, you know, maybe. I mean, but also when I met you, and I realized that I never really thought that I had it to become a professional.
You didn't?
Okay, no. Not, it wasn't until later, much later. You don't know that when you're in seventh grade or eighth grade.
Yeah, right.
You know? I mean, if I knew that then, I would have the biggest head, you know, out there, ego out there in the business.
Right.
You know, you don't think that when you're that age.
Well, it's funny. It's funny that you say that, because I remember your endurance and your range in high school, and they were not like they are now. I remember you praying for your chops at a couple of events. So you know,
I still pray for him. I still pray for him. To this day, I pray for him. Yeah.
Well, okay. Now, I want to back up for a minute, because I want to hear. Tell us the motorcycle story. I mean, you know, you couldn't have been. It's clear that you weren't practicing all the time.
Well, but before we get to that, I'd like to elaborate on the Hawaiian trip, actually.
All right, but that's high school, man. Wasn't the motorcycle before that? Didn't your dad tell you can't ride this, and you went off into the hills or something? I mean, these trombonists want to know that you were not an idyllic kid, man. I mean, and you weren't. Were you? Or were you a typical kid? I mean, first of all, did you play Little League? You know,
I did.
What was your batting average? Could you hit a fastball?
I have no idea what I'm batting. You have to talk to the statisticians about that. I could hit the ball a long ways. And that's because I was so much bigger than everybody. I mean, I'm the height that I am now, which is not very high, was when I was, you know, the height. That's probably, I didn't really grow any taller from that day when I was in seventh grade, eighth grade.
Okay, I have
the same height.
I have to interrupt you right now, Joe, and tell the listeners that Dan and Joe and I hung out on this Hawaiian trip that Joe just mentioned to. The band went to Hawaii, the high school band, and Joe joined us as an eighth grader. Joe bought the beer. Joe looked like he was about 25 years old when he was in eighth grade.
Well, that's true. I was. That's what I was going to tell you about.
But you wouldn't
that's
have told
what I was
us
going
that you
to
bought.
Tell
the,
you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I stole your thunder.
I was going to get into that. Yes, but since you already said it,
I blew it. Yeah, but it was amazing.
Well, why don't you let me talk about Hawaii, and I'll
all right, go for it. Go for it.
Yeah. Okay. So what I was going to say is that, you know, the Gordon Lowe, our band director. The thing I can't recall is whether I started playing with the jazz band in seventh grade or eighth grade. That I don't remember.
I don't recall either.
Yeah, but here, backing up before that, there was a thing called All County Band, I believe, or something like that. And I remember this. I think I was only in sixth grade, and this All County Band was all the best kids around our county, Marin County, and I think it was conducted by Lynn Dowdy, I think.
It was the Honor Band. You're talking about the Honor Band, right?
The Honor Band.
Yeah,
Honor Band.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was.
That's what it was, yeah.
So anyway, I remember not even wanting to go to the first rehearsal because I was scared.
Really?
Scared, and I won't add the other word that goes along with that for our listeners, But I remember my mother, I telling her I didn't want to go. I said, I don't want to do this.
This is amazing. You were nervous?
Yeah, nervous, very nervous to join in with a band of much older musicians. You know?
Well, actually, I can see
that.
Yeah,
you could see that.
When you're in sixth grade, eighth graders seem like they're like adults when you're in sixth grade. They're frightening.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was in that band too. I was in that band, and Brian Gillespie and Jay Skelton like scared the living daylights out of me. And they were only a year older than I was. So I hear what you're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I remember showing up to that rehearsal just late, coming late, and then I had to walk in with my mother. She was holding my hand, and I went into the band and started playing, and then it was a lot of fun. And I think that's when I met you, maybe the first time.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So at any rate, going back to the Hawaii thing, when I got to play with the high school jazz band, that was one of the coolest things I had done up until that point. Mm-hmm. And going over to Hawaii and the beer incident is true, but that's because I always looked a little bit older than everybody.
So you're telling me that playing with the jazz band and having this cool Hawaiian experience, that was a big deal for you getting confidence and enjoying music? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, because what I found was, musicians liked it. That was my first traveling experience, and I thought that was the coolest thing. A lot of musicians getting together and getting on a plane, going somewhere and on tour.
Yeah.
Basically, we were on tour. And I thought that was a really cool thing, that musicians get to go to different places. Mm-hmm. And then what happened after that was sort of a defining moment for me, is there was a competition that, this is where I think my mother was talking about when I was about, it was when I was really 14 years old, mm-hmm. and there was a competition called the Young Artists Competition, sponsored by the San Francisco Symphony.
I remember
Pepsi-Cola.
That. Yes.
Pepsi-Cola. Foundation.
Right.
So, so I applied for it, and there were four divisions. One was piano, and then strings, woodwinds, and brass. Mm-hmm. And so I won the brass division. I remember I played the Gordon Jacob Trombone Concerto, mm-hmm. and Ned Meredith coached me on this, and the division, the piano winner that year was Jeff Kahane, who's now a very famous conductor.
Right.
And so the prize was you get to be a soloist with the San Francisco Symphony. You get $500, and you get a tour of Europe of 18 different cities. So that was just, that was a great experience. And then I sort of said, wow, maybe if I won this competition, maybe I should really go into this more. And then right around that time, that's when my father brought home that Jay Friedman, the Chicago Symphony low brass CD that we spoke of. Mm-hmm. And then I really discovered what the trombone could do in the orchestra. Because mm-hmm. up until that point, my experience was jazz band, concert band, and some solos.
Right.
I hadn't really started listening to orchestras. And then after that point, I started buying tons of records. I remember buying George Zell conducting the Schubert Ninth Symphony, and buying my first Mahler CD. It was Mahler 1, I think, with the New York Philharmonic. And really, then I bought the Chicago Symphony doing Mahler 3, and I started collecting a lot of records and a lot of making a lot of tapes also. Cassette tapes were popular then. And I'm looking at them, all these cassette tapes I have right now in my studio, of different, just all kinds of repertoire, and trying to get accustomed to that. And I do remember one other thing, too, that really hit me. Going into the Marin Youth Orchestra, now that you were a member of that orchestra as well, you played first trumpet there, and my crash course, I think this happened maybe a little earlier, maybe around 7th grade, somewhere in that period, and reading Shostakovich's Fifth Symphony, which to this day is still one of my favorite pieces.
Yes.
But Hugo Rinaldi was the conductor, but I didn't know anything about alto clef.
Joe, I need to interrupt you here. We're going to take a little break, and we'll pick up with this alto clef story in part 4, which will be coming right up.